At this particular time, I'll just ask our brother Christian to step forward as he shares the word of God. And as we start, I'll just ask him also to pray for the word, and we'll be glad to hear the message that God has for us this morning. Thank you, brother Christian.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment that you have given us to be in your presence. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for love. Thank you, oh God, for what you're doing for us. And for this particular moment, we need you, God. We need to guide us in whatever we'll be doing here, especially for your word that is our life, that's changed our manner of living. And that's why we call your spirits once again to lead us in this moment, so that at the end of this message, your people might be blessed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. And all the time. And that is his nature. We praise our Lord for this particular moment that he has given us to be among us, those who will preach the word of God in this temple. We cannot take it for granted. Of course, we've realized that God is very good and really good for us and for what he is doing in our lives. And in this particular moment, I like also to express my gratitude to our pastors who accepted to choose us to be among us, those who can share the word of God in this temple. Allow me also to give thanks to all those who are praying for preachers, especially for those who are preaching in the temple. Preaching currently has become a big challenge because many people are not preaching about the word of God, about the mysteries of God, but they are preaching about themselves. And most of the time, they are bringing some philosophies, something that cannot build the temple of God. And it is a big challenge today. And we need your prayers. Preachers need really your prayers so that they may communicate with faithfulness what God has put in their heart. So it's very, very important and it's key in our lives and in the ministry. That's why I set this occasion to give you thanks also for what you are doing as you are praying for preachers. The topic of today is this: I shall stay faithful. I shall stay faithful. This is a commitment for those serving the Lord. This is to be the commitment for each one of us to serve the Lord. And if you remember, this is a year of discipleship in our church in the Sebeka. And discipleship is all about serving the Lord every day in our life, serving the Lord. And when we say that I shall stay faithful, it is a call for the church to serving the Lord every day without ceasing, in all kind of situation. Of course, while living here in Goma, we know that is very challenging. And if you tell to someone else that you are living in Goma, he or she'll tell you pole sana, because they know that is very complicated. And if you watch some medias, the way they are talking about Goma, you'll ask yourself, is it the same city which I'm living now? It's very complicated. And living your faith in this situation, it is not easy. That is why we need the grace of God in order to live in this situation. The readings of today come from the book of Ruth. Ruth, chapter 1, from the beginning through 18. And John, chapter 15, 4 through 7. For the sake of time, You shall not read all these texts, but will choose only some portions of these texts. Let us read Ruth chapter 1 from the beginning. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man went from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons. And they took them Moabitish's wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the second, Ruth. And they abode there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two children and her husband. We can skip and read 14. And they lift up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Do not entreat me to leave thee, to return from following after thee. For whither thou go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. There you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. God do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking to her. Amen. The second reading here is in the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. And the Bible says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, thus neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the one, you are branches. He that abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Unless anyone abides in me, he is cast out at the branch and dried up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask that you will, and it shall come to pass to you." Amen. Brothers and sisters, this message aims at strengthening the faith of those who are tired, those who are about to leave the race because of problem, because of the difficulty that they are living, and maybe they are about to take a big decision about their Christianity, to leave the race. This message is for them. This message of today is also to also at encouraging those somehow they are firm in their faith. They decided to stay firm in their faith. And it's a way to tell them, stay firm in Jesus Christ. He's there and he is with you. He cannot forsake you. And he will be with you at the end, to the end of the age. And the other aim of this message is to challenge those who have already left the rest and turned back to the word. This is also a challenge because we cannot have instruments that can test really those who are in Christ. We cannot have this instrument. But there are many people who are coming in the temple, but the way they are living is not the way God wants them to live. Because of difficulties, because of challenges, because of the trials in their lives, they have decided to leave faith and to go away and to forget even God. Whereas we are seeing them and we are looking at them coming to the church, even praying with us. And this is the message for them, to tell them the time has come to get back to our Lord. Amen. This is the plan of this message. What are we going to talk about today? Five things that are really concerned in this message. The first one is about three amazing things around the book of Ruth in the Bible. Three amazing things about this book. The second is about three amazing things on the history of Ruth in the Bible. The third is about three things in which we have to show our faithfulness as Christians. The fourth is three situations challenging our faithfulness to God. The last, the fifth, is three blessings when we stay faithful to our Lord. It is very important, it's very key to know this situation in order to stay firm and to continue serving the Lord without ceasing. Let us talk about three amazing things about this book of Ruth in the Bible. Let me tell you that this book is one of the shortest books in the Bible. Actually, it has only four chapters. Only four chapters. But it's about an amazing story that we can find in the Bible. When we read this book from the beginning to the end, of course, you will be blessed. This book, the first thing about this book, you will see it's like a transition between the book of Judges and the book of Kings. At a certain moment, the people of God sinned. And God decided, when they cried to our God, God decided to send some people in order to rescue the people of God. And we can see Judges are the people God sends. And we can see, on the other hand, Kings. At a certain moment, the people decided to have kings like other peoples. And in this, when you read the book of Kings and the book of Judges, you'll see it's all about trials, all about war, all about conflicts, all about peace, all about bad situations when we are reading those two books. But the book of Ruth is like a transition because it's a story. It's a story and a peaceful story that ends in a good manner when we read this book. So it's a transition. The second thing about this book is that the main character in the story is not an Israelite. That it is amazing to see this. It's not an Israelite. If you read all the books on the Bible, you'll see Hebrews, Israelites, all those people. And especially for this story, you'll see she's not an Israelite and she's a woman. We are talking about a woman in the Bible. And you may know the situation of women at that period.
It wasn't like today. They were really neglects. And I can say people were looking down upon them. So this is amazing to have this story of this woman who is not an Israelite. The third thing that we get from this book is this. God is really merciful. We can see God in his dimension of mercy. Because the book shows the blessing that came to a foreigner who turned to Israel's God and became part of his faithful people. In fact, she's not a Jew. She's not an Israelite. But by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, she became one of the people of God. It's so amazing, brothers and sisters. Three amazing things on the history of Ruth when we are reading the Bible here. First, when we read this story, in the beginning, you will see this. And it's come to pass in the day when the judge ruled, there were a famine in the land, and a certain man went to Bethlehem. A certain man. The beginning of the story is about a certain man. It's not about a certain woman. And this is really amazing in this text. And we can see this. The man, we can suppose that the main character in this text was Elimelech. But in the beginning of the story, Elimelech died. In the beginning of the story. If it was a movie, maybe we'll have been really disappointed for the beginning of this movie. I know some movies of French, especially for an actor whose name is Belmondo. If you have watched his movie, at the end of the movie, you'll see him after overcoming all trials, and he's shot by someone you don't know, and he died. And then you'll see some scriptures watching the end of the movie. So I don't like this kind of actor. But for this story, it's very special. In the beginning of the movie, the main character died. So amazing. And the unexpected character became the main character in the story. Amen. Another thing that is amazing in this story is the power of choice. The power of choice. And we have Ruth here and Orpah, two women. Two women, of course, the same situation, the same strategy in the text, but two choices. The first one, she decided to move back to her people, to move back to her gods. And the second, Ruth, she decided to follow Naomi. And this is amazing. That means that your success, your future, lie on or depend on the choice you are making in your daily life. Beware about our choices that we are making. That in that depends our future and even our life. I don't know what happened to Orpah. I don't know. The Holy Spirit didn't allow that this may be written in the Bible. We don't know nothing about her. But about Ruth, you know many things. We know the blessing that she got because she accepted to be loyal to God. Ruth, a common loyalty to her Israelite mother-in-law, her deep devotion to God end up into blessings. End up into blessing. Through her marriage to Boaz, she became great grandmother to King David and one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. This is a big blessing that we can go through this text and a big consolation. And if we can read it in Matthew chapter 1, that when the Bible is talking about the ancestors of Jesus Christ, you will see the name of Ruth is there, whereas she is a foreigner, or she was a foreigner, but she accepted to follow. She accepted to be devoted to the faith of the people of God. Three things in which we have to show our faithfulness. Brother and sisters, when we read the oath of Ruth here in the Bible says, "And Ruth said, do not intend me to leave, to return from following you. For whither you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people. Thy God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. Where you be buried, I'll be buried there. Your God will be my God also." So, in this text, we can see some aspects in which we have to show really our faithfulness. The first thing that we get from this, we need to show our faithfulness about God himself. As Ruth said, your God will be my God. And in this, brothers and sisters, is very important and is very key in our life. Because the Bible says that we have to love God. To love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our minds, and with all our strength. This is the first commandment that the Lord has given us. So, God wants us to be faithful and to serve him in all things that we can be doing. So, this is very important. The second thing here is the faithfulness to people. Faithfulness to people. Your people will be also my people. And it's very important. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is another commandment greater than this. Loving your neighbor is very key. And is very important, actually, currently, when we are living in a situation where there is adversity and many things we are facing, especially when we are living in Goma and in the eastern part of the DRC. So, in the misery and in this situation of pain, we need also to love our neighbors is important. And the third thing in which we need to show our faithfulness, it's all about land. Where you'll go, where you'll die, the place, the location is very important. And for us as Christians, we have to pray for the land. I can see many people who are cursing the country, especially for us Congolese. It has become like a habit to curse a country. This country, as we know, nothing will change in this country. Our politicians, this and that. But as Christians, our words have power. Have power. If we curse the country, if we curse the land, of course the land will be cursed. That's why beware to what we are saying about the country. And what we can do here is to pray for the country every day and to be working for the land, to be working for the good of the land. And what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Pray for the country, working for the good of a country. Don't say, I'm waiting for the state, I'm waiting for the government to come here and to clean my avenue. Don't say that. Try to do something by your own. It is very important for us as Christians, and it's also a way to witness Jesus Christ. Amen. Another thing, three situations that are challenging our faith before closing this message. The first one is what? Is Or there are all those circumstances that we are facing every day. And when we are talking about circumstances, there are good one and bad one. Brothers and sisters, for in this book of Ruth, you'll see the challenge was about, in the beginning, it was about the famine. A famine happened. And after that, you'll see what? You'll see death came also. And in this context, in this situation, we can see Ruth, she stayed faithful to God. But there are many other challenges, such as failures, such as joblessness, wars, diseases that are challenging our faith. And many have left the church because of those kind of challenges. But there are also other challenges. Good one. Richness, promotions, abundance, good health, good job, peace. And you can see those people, we were together praying every day, looking for the face of God, praying at the church, coming even at the church. But the day they got a promotion, you shall no longer see them coming here. They'll be very busy when you are telling them, how come that you are not coming to the church? I know, you know, currently, my job. So even the job, even the blessing, even some good things can become really a challenge for us. So people of God, beware also. Three blessings when we stay faithful to our God. It's not about money. It's not about wealth. All about to travel to Europe. Because many people, that is a kind of blessing. And if you have someone, if you are in a family in which nobody has traveled to Europe, in many churches, this is a kind of a curse in many churches. But not here at Gomaville, not here. Amen, amen. So, the big blessing that you can get here when we stay faithful to our God is the presence of God. Hallelujah. The presence of God is enough for us. That is why Moses said, I shall not leave this place unless you go with me. Amen. It's very important, the presence of God. And it's this that makes difference when we are serving. When we are Christian, without the presence of God, we are nothing and we cannot do anything. So this is important because in our situations, in our trials, God is able to rescue us, is able to defend us, is able to answer our prayers, as we read that in John in the beginning. When we abide to him, he abides also to us, and all our whatever we ask, God will answer. So this is important, the presence of God. Another thing is this, big trial, big blessing. So this is a rule in a spiritual life. When you are facing big difficulties and big trials, make sure that there is a blessing in that. God wants to bless you. That's why it's not easy to you. That's why you are struggling with many situations without knowing what is happening to me. After that, there is a big blessing. And we can take the example of Job, what happened to Job as God restored Job and gave to Job even more than he had before. God can restore you because he's the master of the history. And then when he restores you, you'll be able to bear sustainable fruits. And this is the will of God. The third thing, last but not least, is this. You'll bear testimony. We are witnesses to Jesus Christ. We are the witnesses. And it is important when we are living to think of this generation and to think also about the coming generations while living. You know, this history of Ruth is an old history, but even today we are talking about her because of her faithfulness. So this is important to be also our portion while living, so that the coming generation may talk also about our faith. And we may sustain them while living, and they may take us as an example to say, oh, I know that these guys, he lived in the situation which was even worse than mine, but he resisted. But he stayed firm in Christ, and he was really blessed. In conclusion of this message, brothers and sisters, God is faithful. And this is in his nature. He is faithful. And he wants us to look like him. As he said, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It's important. Don't shrink back. Stay there. Of course, it's all about faith. It's something that is not easy, but it's all about faith. Put all your faith, putting your confidence in God and in our problems, in our difficulties. We need to notice that they shall not last for long. God is there. And if we read it in Revelation, you will see our trials and our problems are only for 10 days. You can number those days. It's important for us. So, we are called to put all our confidence in God, to stand firm in Jesus Christ, to whom nothing is impossible. So, hold on. God is there. God is in you. God is with you in our situation. Don't be afraid. He's there. Stay firm. As Ruth was, and we see at the end of the history, she was blessed by the Lord. May God bless his words. May God bless you. Amen.